1 Samuel chapter 12, title of our message tonight is Failing to Pray. We preached this morning about rebuilding the altar that is broken down. Tonight we're going to talk about failing to pray. I know the title sounds negative, but I promise you it's not. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 12, let's look at verse 22. Samuel speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." Aren't you glad he's pleased to make you his? Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful word. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Consider how great things he hath done for you." What loaded verses. We could preach all night, but we'll focus on that one part where Samuel says, "The Lord forbid that I sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." If you struggle in your prayer life, my goal tonight is not to shine a light on that or to make you feel absolutely horrible about yourself. My goal tonight is to elevate how wonderful and how powerful prayer is in our lives. I heard the story from B.H. Clendenin just this week again. I've heard it several times and it blesses me every time I hear it. Story about a pastor in Kentucky who was asked by one of his parishioners to go and pray for this family. The mother had somehow contracted cancer, and when the father found out about it, he left the mother and the five-year-old boy alone and just abandoned the family. And the boy was left alone to care and take care of his sick mother. When that preacher came to the door there in Kentucky and knocked on the door, the little boy opens the door and says to the preacher, "Are you the man from God?" And the preacher was taken back for a moment and goes, Yes, son, I am." He said, "Mama said when the man from God gets here, everything will be all right." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that's what prayer does. That mother had a confidence, even in her sickness, that God was able. And that confidence went into her child. The child knew that the man from God was coming. Prayer is simply profound and profoundly simple, Leonard Ravenhill said. It's a very easy thing for us to pray. Even a five-year-old can pray. I remember when my grandmother told me about prayer, she said, "Bruce, all you have to do is talk to God like he's your friend. God's not looking for eloquence in your speech. He's not impressed by what words come out of your mouth and how eloquent you say them. He's more impressed with your heart when you pray." I was just a young child sitting there. I told you part of the story this morning of how God delivered my mother from heroin after 13 years. But what I did not tell you this morning was how it all began. I sat there watching my mother come out from another overdose of heroin, helped her to the couch, and watched her, almost her life, slip away from her. And at that moment, I never prayed before. I never knew what prayer was, but I remember those words Grandma said, that God would hear me if I talked to him like he's my friend. And so I cried out to God. I grabbed my mother's hand and I cried out and I begged God, "Please don't take my mother. Please, God, don't take her." I mean, I cried and I cried and I cried. And to this day, the presence of God that came into that room, I cannot describe it. All I know is that every hair on my body stood in attention. Chills ran from the top of my head all the way down my back and all down my legs. I knew the presence of the Lord was there. I was just a little kid. I was in fifth grade. I don't even know what age I was. But I remember a voice speaking to me as if it were audible, but yet it was an inward voice in my heart. And God said to me, said, Bruce, go to church with your grandmother and leave me alone with your mom. And when I came home from church, Mama was cooking egg salad sandwiches. That's what prayer does. It's simple. It's easy to do it. It's not hard, but all the flesh loves to make it hard. And the devil will do everything he can to stop you from praying. He'll do whatever he can to keep you out of an altar. You know why? Because that's where the power's at. That's where your joy and victory is. And so he'll do everything he can to stop you. Everybody knows how powerful prayer is. Even children do. I heard the story about a father who, his child was acting up in church, being disruptive and causing havoc in the church. So the father finally had enough, and he grabbed that child underneath his arm and picked that boy up and began to run him out the back of the church. And all of you parents know what's about to happen, right? And that child screamed out in the congregation, everybody pray now! Pray now! Because everybody knows the power of prayer, even children do. That child knew what was coming, and he was hoping deliverance would come through the prayer of the saints. Amen? It is in prayer that you and I find all the benefits of Christianity. The reason why we lack the blessings is because we haven't prayed. The reason why the power don't fall is because we haven't prayed. The reason why revival is not in your heart or even in the church or in the world today is because the church has forgotten its place in prayer. When Peter was locked up in jail, the church did not start petitions and start a strike and start protesting. The church got on its knees, and an angel from God delivered Peter out of the prison, opened up the gates, and allowed Peter to walk free, because that's what prayer does for the church. Amen? Now, I've got a few reasons on why we fail to pray. And I want to share them with you tonight. One, we have bought the idea we don't have the time. We have bought the idea we don't have the time. I've heard of great preachers who pray for 3-4 hours. I've yet to come to that place where I could do that on a daily basis. I've spent time, a lot of time and long times in prayer. One time we had an all-night prayer meeting. We all fell asleep about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, but we still tried. Amen. I heard of D.L. Moody, who would spend 3-4 hours a day, and one man came to him and said, Mr. Moody, how can you afford to pray so long? And he said, I can't afford not to pray. We have the time. The truth is, we have to learn how to make the time to pray. If you don't make it, the devil will fill your time up with everything else to stop you from praying. And if you don't section out a time in your day and say, I'm going to spend some moments alone with God at any time, it doesn't matter the time, but at least some time alone with God, if you don't do that yourself, you'll hardly pray that day at all. Paul made the statement, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We got to make time for prayer in our lives. If we don't make the time, you'll hardly ever find the time. Amen? Number two, we have forgotten its importance. You know why we get weak and feeble? We haven't prayed. Amen? You know why we haven't seen the fire of the Holy Ghost like we should? It's not anyone else. It's not just the leadership's fault. It's not, we can't point a finger at anybody else but ourselves. Amen. We can look at the world and say, well, the fire would fall if all the churches would get involved. No, no, no. We've got to look at ourselves and say, what's more important to us? What's more important to us? Is the presence of the Almighty God so important to us that we'll spend some time alone with God? Or are we more involved in the other things of life that we forget the importance of prayer? I remember a story. It was David Wilkerson was asked by a lady to pray for her child. And David Wilkerson said to her, "My dear sister, how long have you been praying for your child?" And she began to give the laundry list of excuses on why she didn't have the time to pray. David Wilkerson said to her, "My dear sister, I am so sorry. I don't have anything to pray or agree with you about. How can I touch God for your child whom I don't know when you love him and have passionate love for him and you yourself will not pray over that child?" We have to come to the realization that prayer is important in your life. Your children need you to pray. Your grandchildren need you to pray. This church needs you to pray. Because when you pray, you're going to do great things for God, and the power of the Lord will be upon you. The blessings of God will follow you. God will be right beside you. Amen? Give him praise. He deserves it. It is so important for us to steal away from the world for just a moment and hear from God what he has to say to us. To be alone with him. There's a song that says, "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend." I love that old song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. What an important aspect of life, Christian life, prayer is to us. It is the access by which every single one of us have a way to get into the heavenly realms. We're not going to experience the blessings of God until we've prayed for the blessings to come down. I hate to break the news to you. If you're looking for a blessing to sock you in the face, it ain't going to happen. Amen? If you're waiting for a bolt of lightning from heaven just to whoosh, come down and shock you and go, "Whoop, there it is." That's not how it works. We have to discipline ourselves to understand its importance. Number three, we fail to see the difference prayer can make. We fail to see the difference that prayer can make. How many of you believe with me tonight that prayer changes things? I've seen God, through prayer, do miraculous things. I've seen God heal crippled people because of prayer. I've seen God heal people from cancer because of prayer. I mean, miraculous, miraculous things. I've seen people who were so hard that many people said they would not come to God, and I've seen prayer soften their hearts. Some of you are sitting in here today because somebody prayed for you. Amen? Every single one of us are a result of someone believing that prayer makes a difference. And so I will pray. I will not sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Church, we have got to realize that your children will be affected by your prayer. You've got to realize that your grandchildren will be affected by your prayer. You've got to realize that some of your prayers, they may not have been answered just yet, but God still has an answer, and one day he will respond to that. What a difference prayer made. Look what it did for Elijah when he said one simple prayer, "Lord, show them who you are." And the fire came down. The fire fell. Church, we've got to come back to that to realize that prayer makes the difference. It makes the difference in our services. It makes the difference in our lives and our hearts. A lot of times we are completely in turmoil, and the devil's attacking and coming against us in every way, and we forfeit the one weapon that will stop him, and that's prayer. You want to know how I tell the devil, get off my back? I don't speak in my own authority, I can tell you that. I don't say, in the name of Bruce Grimmett, get off my back, devil. Right? No, 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 I pray and say, Lord, get this devil off my back. Amen. Amen? I rebuke the devil through the authority of Jesus Christ, and I say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The angel of the Lord did not say to Satan, I rebuke you because I'm an archangel. He said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Amen? The Lord rebuke you. And so we can make a difference when we realize that God has given us access and power to stop the work of the enemy. The devil is hindered, and I really want to hinder him. Amen? You ever wanted to get even real bad with somebody? I feel that way about the devil. I really do. I was so mad at him this morning, I was telling him off. I was upset at him. He had done something that made me just mad. And so I told the Lord, I go, I'm so sick of that devil, that rotten, foolish devil. And so I began to pray and tell the devil, you better leave these people alone. I began to rebuke the devourer coming against families. I was just mad. And I was so happy when I got done praying because I realized I was slapping the devil and he couldn't do nothing about it. Amen? Couldn't do nothing about it. Many people look at it in the natural sense and in the natural eyes and say, what does that change? That's because you see with your natural eyes. But if you could see with your spiritual eyes, I'm telling Satan to back off, and I want you to know he's got to do it. Amen. He's got to do it because not because I'm great, but because whom I believe, I am persuaded that he's able to do it, and I believe he can. We fail to see the difference it can make. We don't know how to start. When you get out of the prayer closet, some of the most difficult things to do is to start again. Amen? If you've ever had that struggle, you know it's complicated to get it going again. Maybe you haven't even started one yet. I remember I first got saved, the first thing they said to me is, you better start praying and reading your Bible, boy. Right? Come on, old timers. You know, my seasoned veterans in here, you ought to know this. You grew up with that word in your heart. Read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Amen? You were taught that you should study, you should pray. You should seek, you should knock, and you should ask. You should constantly bombard heaven for your family members. You were taught in the old days when you got saved, they didn't let you get up till you got the Holy Ghost too. Amen? That's because they believed in this thing called prayer, and they wanted to make sure that you knew how to start it and keep it going. Amen? Everyone knows how to start a car. My girls know how to start the car, but they don't know how to drive it just yet. There's a lot of people who know how to start a car, but they don't know how to keep it moving and move it properly. There's a lot of Christians who know how to pray the prayers of, oh me, or why me, how come? And those are desperate prayers. Those are prayers of desperation. God, I need you to do something for me right now. And And those prayers are needful at times. And I thank God that God's so gracious to us and loves us and comes to us even in the moments where we're crying, oh me and why me. Amen? How many of you are thankful the Lord showed up when you prayed those prayers? Amen? But then there's a prayer that comes not just because of oh me or why me, but because he's good. And he's God. And he deserves to hear you. And he deserves to communicate with you. He deserves to have you. One thing I was not able to tell you this morning because Pastor Zach preached a great message. Amen. God bless you, brother. But the one thing I wasn't able to share with you this morning is that when Elijah built the altar of God, the Bible said he built an altar unto the Lord. He didn't build an altar to his petty issues. He didn't build an altar because of his own personal circumstance. He built an altar unto the Lord. And that is the difference. I'm not building an altar because I've got a petty problem or a situation. I want to spend time with him that I know has been good to me. And I want to consider all the things he's done for me. Starting it isn't easy, but let me just tell you how you start. You ready? I'm gonna dumbfound you right now with this word. Do it! I know some of the Spirit just like, whoop, jumped in some of you like, oh, there it is. Amen. Just do it. Just start. Make up your mind that tomorrow you're going to set some time aside for you and the Lord. Here's one I hear a lot as a pastor. We don't know what God is going to say. We don't know what God is going to say. You know why some people don't pray is because they're afraid what the Lord might tell them. I'm going to say something, you know. God's the kind, I don't know how he deals with you, but this is how he deals with me. He don't beat around no bush. When God deals with me, he always keeps dealing with me about the thing that I need to deal with. He don't, you know, I tried many times to bypass it. He, come on now, am I the only guilty party? I've tried many times to bypass that and say, oh, Lord, you know, thank you for all that you've done. Oh, you're so wonderful, Lord. Thank you for being a blessing. Oh, thank you for the Holy Ghost. And I try to go down another route, and the Lord says, hey, let's talk about that again. That one issue you have. Remember that unforgiveness you got in your heart for that other brother that you got problems with? Yeah, that thing. Let's talk about that. God always likes to talk about what may be hindering us from getting closer and getting closer to him. And so many times people won't pray because they know what God's already going to say. Amen? I know people who won't get on their knees and pray because they know for a fact that God's going to deal with their life and their sin. And that means they're going to have to deal with it when they pray about it. I've heard people say, well, not only do they not know what God's going to say, but they also themselves say, I don't know what to say. Let me tell you this. The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Gives us words to pray. Let me encourage you that as you pray, begin with praise. I wish I had the time tonight to go in and just teach you the prayer that Jesus gave, because it's a pattern of prayer. It's not that we repeat that prayer over and over again and that somehow there's some power just in that prayer, but it's a pattern of prayer. It's the purpose in prayer. The disciples didn't go in and pray and say the sinner's prayer that Jesus taught at the mount that day. They didn't just repeat that over and over again. They prayed to God and they spoke to him just like he was a friend. But yet they used that as a pattern. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's a pattern of prayer. And church, we've got to learn to look at that pattern and say, this is how I start. First, I'm gonna start with praise. Hallowed be thy name. And when you don't know what to pray, go back to that. Hallowed be thy name. Praise your holy name. Glorify your holy name. You want to know what? Most people get filled with the Holy Ghost while they're praying. praising. And if you don't know what to say, go back to praise. And if you don't know what to say, go back to worship. Go back to that, because I promise you, the Holy Spirit will give you what to pray. While you're praising and while you're worshiping, you'll think about people you haven't thought about in years, but the Holy Spirit will bring them back to your mind. Here's one that's going to be tough. You ready? We have more confidence in our own abilities. We can get this done. We can get this done. You know, it's easy to do that. You don't even have to necessarily say it and mean it. You just naturally do that. I heard a preacher testify about a lady who was very boisterous in the church. She just kind of that, she was that A-type personality. She just believed she could do things and she could get things done. And she just had that drive, you know, that if something needed to be done, she'd get it done. Just a strong-willed lady. And during a funeral at the church that one day, a lady got up to sing a song, but she couldn't sing it. She didn't know it. So the lady that was in the funeral, that type A personality, got up and said, "I'll do it." So she got up there, grabbed the thing, and she couldn't read the words because they were too small. But she thought just for a moment her own ability, "I get this done." It wasn't that she was being arrogant or haughty. It was just in her mind. She knew the song. She could accomplish it. She could get it done. And so she figured in her own ability, she could accomplish that. How often do we think in our own ability this could get done, but we haven't prayed about it? How often have we forsaken the prayer closet and not cried out to God and said, "God, how am I going to accomplish this? How am I going to finish this? How is it going to be done, oh God?" And simply prayed and asked God to give you wisdom. I remember one time I was very busy. And the devil was telling me, "You don't have time today. You got your schedule's just packed. You need to, you know, you just get about your business, you'll pray later." But I know me. I do one thing when it's nighttime. I go to bed. Because I work long, hard, stressful. So I have no problem laying my head on a pillow and going to sleep. I don't watch television. I just turn noise on and it's over. Put my head on the pillow and I'm done. So I knew me. I knew I wouldn't pray. So I said, "You know what? I'm not going to just count on the thing, my own abilities today to get this done. I got to spend some time alone." So I went and spent some time alone with God. You know what? And all the time I was there, my mind kept saying, "You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You got this to do. You got that to do. You got this to do. You got that to do. You need to accomplish this. You got a meeting here just in 30 minutes. You got this you need to do." I mean, all these things. Am I the only one that's had that happen? I mean, it's horrible, right? It's even distracting to your prayer, but I spent that time alone. Do you know what? Over 50% of the things I needed to do that day, God solved them for me. Amen? Man, that was a blessing. Now, that don't happen all the time, but man, it was a good day. I was so happy the Lord helped get things accomplished just because I said, "Lord, I'm not going to trust my own abilities. I need you today. I cannot do it without you. I don't want to go through today without spending a moment with you to know that everything is good between you and I." We can't count or trust in our own abilities. And here's my last point. We think small. We think small. When we don't go to God in prayer, we not only forget what God can do through little old us. Amen? The children of Israel thought real small while they're standing there, pinned in by the Red Sea and by Pharaoh's army. But one man knew the ability of God because he had been alone with God. And he said, "Just stand still and see the salvation of our God." And they walked through on dry ground because one man believed that God was able, because he was able to think bigger than him, his own self. Elijah was able to think bigger, wasn't he? God will call down fire. Fire will come down. How do you get to that place where you say in your mind that God's going to answer by fire and consume the sacrifice, lick up the water, consume the stones, and even the dust in the air, the fire's going to come down so mightily? Where do you get that confidence? You get that in a place where you realize that you've prayed and you got alone with God. And now your thought process isn't small anymore. If you try to do it on your own, you're only going to accomplish what a man or a woman can. You're only going to accomplish what a man or a woman can. Why don't we step out of the natural and step into the supernatural and start praying for God to do supernatural things through us in life? Amen? How many know that God can use you to part waters in somebody's life? Amen. How do you could do great things for God if you just spent a little time. God's not asking you for all day, but I promise you, you get alone with Him for a little while, you'll want to spend all day with Him. Amen. The presence of God is so attractive. Man, once you get in it, you just don't want to get out of it. I remember, I'm closing. Say amen. Well, some of you are catching on to my jokes. Amen. I remember some times in prayer, I was alone with God. And you can attest to this too if you've spent time in prayer. The Holy Ghost would come in and fill that room where I was praying. Oh, man. Oh, it was just, it was the best hour of every day. Every day. I looked so forward to just being alone with God. Just alone. It was my favorite time of the day. When I went to Bible college, I had a specific time because I had to wake up super early to go to class. That was 7:25 when I was a teenager. Now I wake up twice as early as that and function all day and have no problem. But back then, 7:25 was early, brother. That was early. And so I had to wake up early and go to Bible class. So I didn't wake up at 5 and pray. I'd go to Bible class and I'd come and pray right before lunch. And my prayer time was about 10:30, 11 o'clock, 10:45, somewhere right in there. And I would spend some time with God. And always below me, we had prayer rooms. And below me was the prayer room for the dorms below me. And Russ Connor would be down there praying. He always prayed a half hour into my prayer, and I could always sit there and listen to him pray. Boy, he was a prayer house, man. I mean, he'd pray the fire down. He'd walk down the quad and prophesy to the trees. He's an amazing guy. And I remember one time, there's a pillar that came down the center of the room, and he was just beating that pillar with his hand. I mean, just beating it. It was shaking my room. And he was beating that pillar, and he was crying out to God, "Oh, God, send the fire, send the fire." And he's just beating that thing. So I went over and started beating it. I go, "Yes, Lord, send it to him. Send it to him." But what I love so much, more than Russ Connor, more than any of those things, it's when the Holy Spirit would come in that room. And I knew He was there. There was no question He was there. He was there. And He would talk to me, and somehow His voice would soothe everything. I couldn't explain it. I just wanted to hear Him. And I would feel these, we called them, the waves of the Spirit. It would come in waves. He would come in a wave, and you would feel that wave come, and oh, mercy, the wave. Oh, just so good. And as that wave would come in, I would just be basking in it, just embracing that wave of the Spirit that came down and touched my heart. And as it began to recede like the ocean waters would, I would cry out and say, "No, don't go. Stay right here with me." Just a moment alone with Him becomes so attractive. You'll find yourself spending hours. And then you'll try to find ways to spend more hours and more hours, because you'll fall absolutely in love with prayer if you just start it. Amen? If you just start it. Let me end with this story. I get, what, two or three endings? Is that right? We'll do two tonight, okay? Little girl was asked the question about Enoch. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah, and he was not, for God took him. Literally just took him, like Enoch was walking and took him. And little girl was asked, why tell the story of Enoch? And in Sunday school, she said, well, this is how it went. Every day, Enoch and the Lord would walk together and talk. And every day, they would get a little further. And Enoch would say, well, I guess it's time for me to go home. And so he would turn around and walk home. And the Lord would go home to his place. But every day they'd walk a little further and a little further and a little further until finally the Lord said to Enoch, you know, you've walked so far with me, why don't you just come to my place tonight and stay with me? That's what prayer's like. It'll put you so close to the very throne room of God, you will think you're there. It was in prayer that Paul was able to be caught up to the third heaven. In prayer, he received revelation. In prayer, he heard the Macedonian call. It is through prayer that these things come to us, church. Let us pray for one another, for ourselves, for our church. Think about how hard you would pray if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow morning. There'd be people in these altars wouldn't get up till he came, waiting for him.